Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Fallout, an increasingly important word in the atomic and hydrogen age. The facts from Federal Civil Defense tell us that fallout could hurt you, might even kill you. Well, what about it, mister? What is this fallout stuff? Fallout is nothing more than particles of matter in the air made radioactive by nuclear explosions.
Yep.
Oh, is that all?
Yep.
Just the particles in the air.
That's it.
After the nuclear.
You know, just the stuff you breathe. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Play Retro. This is Play Retro. I'm one of your hosts, Scott Johnson. And look, I can't find dog meat. Where is dog meat? Oh, wait. You're telling me I have to wait a couple of decades for dog meat? Fine. In the meantime, let's kill some mutants, but take turns doing it. Wait. Is it Brotherhood of Steel or Steel Brotherhood? Doesn't matter. A gross mutated crab has more hit points than me, and I am now dead. Save me, retro techno 50s nuclear future past.
Nuclear. Rad crab. Yeah. Bastards.
Yeah.
And I'm your other host, Brian Dunaway, and there is nothing outside these vault doors for me except death, sadness, and two-headed cows.
Mm.
Good thing Mom packed me a peanut butter and radioactive jelly sandwich, and Dad threw in some bottle caps to carry my vault boy branded lunchbox for some Nuka-Cola, if I can find some. Else, I could be in trouble out there in the wasteland. Just kidding. My parents are dead, and this is just a bag of rad scorpions I stole from the last house. Dad.
That's great.
Yeah.
If you can't tell from our intro, we're talking about Fallout 1, Fallout 2, and a little bit of Fallout Tactics.
It's particles
today.
In the air.
Yeah, it's particles in the air. And don't breathe them in. All right?
Don't breathe them in, man.
It's not good for you. We got all kinds of Fallout on the mind, so we're going to talk about it, see where that whole thing started before it went all 3D and fancy in the year 2005, 2006. I forget when they went full 3D.
5 million is how about is it 2021 7
I don't know. That sounds right.
2161.
Oh, you mean in the game. Yeah. That's right.
Yeah. Or when does it, were you talking about? Yeah, there's so many. Oh my God.
Yeah. When Fallout 3.
Welcome to learning the Fallout timeline. I had to watch like 12 videos just to get ready for this.
There's a lot.
For all the timeline stuff.
The Fallout 3, the video game by Bethesda Softworks, came out in 2005, I think, or 6. It might be 6. But the point is, wait, was that before? No, Oblivion came out in 08. Oh, dude, I'm going to have to go look at all of it. But that's kind of the Fallout a lot of people are familiar with. What you don't know is in the 90s, a really hard first three games happened, and people loved them, and we're going to talk about them today. So PC lovers...
There was a time before Bethesda, right?
That's right.
A time... with Interplay and Black Isle, and it was different. It was the same, but it was different.
It was different, but it was the same. Mm-hmm. Now I'm going to play a lot of Fallout as a result. Anyway, we'll talk about all that. That's all coming up. But before we do, I got something to open on the air. Check this out.
Oh.
I think you got one too, but you may have already
opened it.
Okay,
if this is what we did, you got to get it early? Because I thought he said, well, I might not be there till Monday, so you got it in time.
Oh, did yours not arrive? You didn't get it?
Oh, mine already arrived. Oh, okay. This is going to be fun.
All right.
I've already opened mine.
I decided to hold it because I don't know what it is, but our listener and community extraordinaire member, Taz, sent this. Taz, I don't know what it is.
Taz is always making cool graphics and things, and Taz has sent us a tube-shaped box,
yeah.
Meaning that you know there's got to be a tube inside that long box.
Oh,
that
my
Scott
gosh,
has.
There is. There's a tube.
Mine, okay. Be careful. Mine was full of glitter.
Okay, mine. Mine's got a spring snake in it. Like those cans
of nuts. Oh, my God. If it did, I would have lost my crap.
Yeah,
I'm easily scared.
Are you easily? No, you're not easily like creeped out. You're easily shock scared, right? Like jump
I am.
Scared.
Yes. I am easily startled is the proper term. And then I don't know how some people are laughers after they get startled. They go, that was so much fun. I'm not. I get mad.
That's not you. Eh? Oh, I got some stickers already coming out of here. I want to make sure I don't.
Yeah, this is going to be fun. It took me, Taz is really good at making awesome artwork and stuff, and what he sent us is amazing, but getting all the stickers out of the tube.
It was real tricky. Okay, here we go.
Real tricky.
I think I got all of the stickers close to it.
Now, what you're pouring out right now is, if I can start to describe, are various size. What kind of cut is it? Where you cut right around the edge of
the edge. That's called a.
It's called a. What's it called? A stick, Carter. What are the stickers we cut around the edge?
Is it kiss cut? Is it
kiss cut? Die cut.
So they're all like die cutted around stickers, and they're different logos of different retro systems. Like, you know, imagine PlayStation, except it says Play Retro, and that Play Retro cool. Font.
Oh my gosh.
Sony's font.
This is so cool.
Right.
Is this every game we've ever done?
That poster is the best. And Taz is going to send us a digital copy too. The poster is amazing because it is cover boxes of every game we've covered up to 100 episodes, all laid out on this.
Which was last week, by the way. What a cool way to celebrate 100 episodes. Look at this shit.
That is the best. And Tassie was sent us the high definition version. I want to make a huge poster because the small one is awesome. And I'm getting that one framed. But I want one about 8 foot tall.
He's even got like the systems these were on.
Yes.
The box art includes. So like if there's an N64 game, like let's see. South Park, when we did South Park, it's right there just like the way it was.
Yep. Just like
my gosh, I love this so much.
Boy, talk about some role-playing. This makes me feel, there's a list down at the bottom that tells you each one of them, everything. It's so sweet.
It's amazing. It's so nice. This is what he said. Should I read this?
Yes, you got a note and I got a note.
It says, hey, Scott, grats on 100 episodes of Play Retro. Here are a few things to celebrate the milestone. I can't wait for what's in store for 2024, maybe a Tony Hawk episode or Glider. For the Mac 1988, I'd be into that.
Yes.
Says, anyway, love the show and the network and the community, and I hope you and your family have a wonderful holiday. Love the show, though. John, a.k.a. Taz in the chat. P.S. Film Sack, check with Brian Ibbett. Play Retro, check. Core, hopefully something big headed to you, John and Bo, in January. I can't wait. But look at this. Look at this. 50 Cent. Put insert coin sticker, big giant one. Frog Pants Studios.
Yeah, I love that one. It is the big red insert coin. That's such a fun one. I love that.
Gosh, I love it.
Put Play Retro show. Look at that with the glowing.
And like you said, all these little kiss cut, die cut stickers. There's a N64 logo reworked to be Play Retro 64.
GameCube was my favorite.
I love this one for the TurboGrafx. Love that.
Yeah. Love that one.
Oh my gosh. I got a new water bottle for Christmas. This thing right now, no stickers on it. Guess what's going on that?
Getting some stickers, my friend.
There's so many in here. There's a whole pile. Wow. I don't know what's more shocking. He made this many stickers or there are that many systems to make stickers of. Amazing. Both. All right. Well, he's officially.
We love our community and we love our content creators. In this case, a real physical content creation.
Yeah.
Came to us through the mail and it was amazing.
I already liked him. Now I worship him. Now I worship
now
at his
feet. Now I will speak the Taz from my lips.
That is so rad. Oh my gosh. You killed it, Taz. Nice job. Also, putting a tube in a box is a great way to do that. I often don't do that. I send just in the box. Yeah. I roll it real good and try to pad it out, but I think this helped protect it.
It does. And I was thinking about it too, because I was like, why would he put a tube inside a box? You know what? Tubes roll and they are prone to fall in between things and get smushed. Boxes don't. And I was like, that's pretty smart.
Yep. It's amazing. I love everything about this. Oh, is Joust? So let's see. Where's Joust on here? Because Joust was number one. Let's see.
Joust is number one, baby. Our first episode of Play Retro.
It looks like I can't find it. I know it's on here, though. And some of these are, let's see. What did he do for arcade stuff? Did he do like a...
Well, we definitely got the... Oh, like what do you do for the box art stuff? You
mean yeah,
for
yeah, arcade yeah. Stuff? Yeah. Yeah, I'm just curious. Oh, I can look at this for hours. That's what I'm doing after the show today. I love this. Taz is laughing. I owe you, dude. I owe you.
Taz is laughing, says, UPS did that for me, the box. Apparently, they don't ship tubes.
Oh, they don't?
Makes sense, though. I wonder you should why take that is. The credit.
I do tubes all the time, but I guess I do USPS, so I don't know. This is amazing. I can't thank you enough. That's incredible. And Brian got it too. We're very happy. And what a way to celebrate 100. You know?
So good.
Yeah. You're so awesome. Good. Also, I did a weird thing.
Oh.
You might say, Scott, what did you do that was like kind of retro over the holiday? Here's what I did.
Right.
I watched on YouTube the Pac-Man and His Friends special, for Christmas special.
Nice.
It's bad. It's from the 80s.
Well, of course it's bad.
It's terrible. They bumped, what was it, Cheers or something for it. Like, there's even a commercial that says...
It was what was it? You sent it to me. You said it was Joni.
Oh, Joni Loves Chachi. That's what it was. They bumped Joni Loves Chachi minutes. To show this Pac-Man holiday special. And it's awful. And it's amazing.
Awful good.
Oh, yeah. You got to see it. It's terrible.
You're right. It's okay. You don't... So, me and Scott talk about this all the time, doing a cartoon 60s, 70s, 80s, and even to the 90s, like we kind of do with Play Retro, with cartoons, because there's a really interesting thing that happens during the 60s, where we have, you know, cereal companies essentially pushing their way towards, you know, commercialization of all of this product sold directly to kids and packaging that into cartoons and shows. And during the 70s, there was a backlash and pushing back against it. Educational entertainment really pushed back. And then when Reagan got in office, it all just collapsed full forward with Pac-Man and just, you know, Siri, just anything they could sell us latchkey kids. It was just trash thing after trash thing. But they also had a requirement of keeping some of it educational. And it's just so much fun.
Yeah. And bumping.
To watch that battle out
in the 80s. The fact that they bumped freaking Joni Loves Chachi is amazing for them.
Yeah. Well, Chachi was going to get bumped. Yeah. What choice did you have?
Now, it looks like the version
I
watched.
It's not an 8 o'clock show.
No. The version I watched, by the way, is no longer on YouTube. I don't know what happened. I looked at a clip there for a second, but the actual full episode, somebody got yanked. So I don't know what happened there. So I don't know if you're going to be able to easily find it or not, but it's worth your stupid time to do a stupid thing.
It is. It is such trash. But I didn't get to it this year. I typically, every year, without fail, except for this one, I was sick.
Yeah.
Watch the He-Man Christmas special. It's always on YouTube.
Yeah, it's great.
And it's fantastic.
Anywhere, it's I'm pretty sure Hulu has all He-Man.
Yeah.
I think. Maybe it's Netflix.
Yeah, because they got that new series that they did not too long. Was it Netflix?
That might be Netflix. Netflix did the new series. I just don't know who has the archive, but wherever it is.
It's all on YouTube, though, I think, because they have the whole He-Man channel you can watch.
Yeah, and if you want to go in there and just watch that, oh my gosh, they convert Skeletor to understanding the true meaning of Christmas in that thing.
That, when Skeletor is walking along with a couple of kids and talking about Christmas and finding his Scrooge moment getting turned around, it's a thing of beauty.
It's amazing. I have a clip from it. Would you like to hear a clip?
Oh, yes, please. Oh, you got the clip? Oh, absolutely.
I do have a clip. If I can find it, here we go.
We're in the taint of the year, as I like to call it, because it taint Christmas and it taint New Year. It's we right there.
That's why you call it the taint. I see. That's why.
Yeah.
Not because there's another meaning to something being in between things called a taint.
But that's what it is.
Yeah. No, you're right. I mean, you're not wrong. Yeah. I can't argue with it. All right. Here it is. Listen to this clip.
I don't think I feel well.
Oh, wait. That's him just not feeling well. He-Man.
That's how I felt.
If I can find the whole thing. Is this it?
Hey, Mac, what you got there?
No, here, is this it?
If anything can get me past those bewitched trees, this is it.
Okay, that isn't it. Is this it?
When Fisto offers you his hand, boy.
Hold on. Where is this? Fisto? Where is the Christmas? Oh, here it is.
I don't think I feel well.
Well, I think you're feeling the Christmas spirit, Skeletor. It makes you feel good.
Yeah, good.
Good.
No, I don't like it.
Yeah.
No, He-Man.
He-Man's
no,
the worst.
Get it off me.
You ever heard Spanish He-Man?
He-Man y los amos del universo.
Check this out.
Yo soy Yara, príncipe de Eternia y defensor de los secretos del castillo Grayskull. Él es Kringer, mi más querido amigo. Fabulosos y secretos poderes.
I will tell you right now, I'm going to watch that after the show. I didn't think about there being Spanish He-Man, but that is awesome.
Yeah, it exists. Turns out they all localized that for a bunch of other countries and regions and all that. It's pretty good stuff.
It's all pretty good.
Brian, what did you do for your retro time this week?
Well, when I wasn't sick in the bed, I slept a lot for Christmas.
Good.
That's what I got. And it just wasn't good. It was bad.
No, so it's good to sleep. It's good to get rest. You got to take care of your body. You got to let it heal. This is a good thing. You got to do what you got to do. It's fine. You know?
Fine. Fine. Yeah. Spin it your way, Skeletor.
Sure.
I feel bad. What is this? But, so, but I did still get my retro Christmas on, baby.
Yeah.
And one of the things I got that really bothered me a lot, because look at this cool, I was not expecting it, not on any wish list. It's this chocolate controller. It's multiple colors of chocolate, almost like M&M's on that thing, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. So white, is it a white chocolate D-pad on there?
Yes, it is. It's white chocolate there for the D-pad, and the rest of it's like different shades of milk chocolate and dark chocolate, and got some. But anyway, the point is, this has caused a real conundrum in my head because I can't decide. Oh, you don't want to just leave chocolate sitting around, right?
No.
It's not something you can like just put on your shelf and just leave forever. But it's too cool just to eat.
Yeah. You need to take lots of photos, lots of video, that kind of stuff. And then make sure you've got like, you know, 4K video saved of your cool controller and then eat it. You can eat.
That's what I'm about to do, I guess. So I instantly felt bad about that. Felt good too, though. But this was my prized Christmas possession.
Oh my.
It is a handheld history, a celebration of portable gaming. And I believe we Barnes and Noble's, Amazon, any place you get your hard cover books. And this book is just what it says. This is a history of all these different handhelds, different versions of the handhelds and different markets. And man, it's even got a breakdown of a UMD. They even went down and broke down each piece, each the outer slide, the inner disc.
Oh my gosh.
They did these wonderful looks of some of the ones you may have never seen, some models that you may have never seen. Sure, stuff that I probably could get on the internet. But I mean, come on, it's in book form and I can lay in the bed and drop it in my face. Because I like to read.
Oh, yeah, this is from. This is the Retro Dojo people. They did
it. Really is. It's the Retro Dojo people. That's right. And it's a really good look at that. There's a breakdown of how you disassemble the game gear. Why did we fix the game gear?
No disassemble.
Oh, sorry.
Which is perfect because I've got to do that very soon myself. I've got to fix the game gear. So there's, I like curated content sometimes and in a nice little book form. And this was a lot of fun. And I thank my family for getting it for me. That's my prize retro possession, especially considering that as soon as the meter is recharged on the retro spending account, I am going to order an analog pocket. Finally going to get some.
You're going to get an analog. Okay. All right.
I've been enjoying so much the FPGA experience on the Mr. FPGA over this past year.
Yeah.
And now I want to experience the handheld stuff. And so I'm ordering one. It's going to take a couple of months to get here, but I'm excited. As soon as that bar fills back up. Yeah.
Where do they finish? Do they finish on Switch or do they got a Steam Deck in there?
Yeah, it finishes on the Switch. That's exactly right.
No Steam Deck. I'm surprised. Steam Deck's been around for a couple of years. I figured it'd be on there.
Was it in here? Well, you know, I don't know if they mentioned the Steam Deck or not. No, last thing I see is some Retroid stuff.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it's not in here. I haven't read the whole book yet.
Maybe it's for the sequel. Who knows?
They've got several. Now I'm still looking to pick up. The Untold Story of Japanese Game Developers, that 3-part series, which is on Amazon Kindle, because I've really been enjoying reading that first one. But I want to get the book. I want to get the book.
Yeah.
That's tactile. Really
cool. Yeah, that's really cool. When we do a book, really cool. Here's what we should do. We'll do a book of some sort.
Let's do a book.
Right. We'll make it our own unique thing. And we'll hire Taz to do all our page graphic stuff. He can do all that. How about that?
Right.
Because he's so good at this, man.
He's so good at this. And what are we waiting on? And I did have one more thing.
Oh, what else you got there, Brian? What else?
One more thing. What I just picked this up today, so it's not in my show notes.
Oh, wow.
Look at him.
I had that. Yeah. I owned that. Okay, for those at home, it's a he paid $15 for that. It's Coleco did it, right? Or who did it?
Yeah, it's the electronic football. Now, I did pay $15 because this is my favorite place to go get retro stuff, and I found a lot of other cool retro stuff. I'm pretty sure this is the reproduction model. So, you know, it wasn't a terribly great deal, but you can usually pick these up for about $15 on eBay. If you had the original, the old one, I don't think this is one of the old ones. I could be wrong. I got to finish doing some research. If it's one of the old ones, it's in really good shape.
Yeah.
But I think this is reproduction.
It could be. Could be wrong. Really? Interesting.
Well, I'll find out. But it's a very faithful reproduction.
You know how annoyed I am that I didn't just hang on to that stuff that I had when I was younger? Why did I just keep those things? I sold them. Well, I took them to garage sales. My mom got rid of them. Like, why? What? What were we doing? It's not even like that thing's tiny. It's about the size of my phone. Yeah. Just go over here.
What's up with this? Yeah.
Yeah, I'm annoyed. Officially annoyed. That's cool, though.
Oh, my God. It turns on, too.
Shut up. Let me see.
Look at that. It sits on.
Is it working?
You didn't know you're going to hear it. Can you hear it? Let's see.
Oh, my gosh. That sound. My teacher took mine away once. Seriously. Junior high, sitting in class. Beep. And they went, Mr. Johnson, I'll take that and put it in the desk. You can come back after class. Yeah.
This is the playoffs.
Do it. Let's hear some beeps. Oh, that little tackle sound. Holy shit.
I'll do some more research on this, and maybe I've got a gem, and maybe I just have something that was worth about $15 and I bought something that cost $15. Sweet.
Maybe. Either way. The fact that it's still running somehow makes me wonder.
Yeah. You know? Yeah.
That stuff doesn't last that long.
No, it doesn't. And so I'm pretty excited. But I'd love to hear what you guys, head over to Twitter, Play Retro Show, and share any cool retro crap you got for Christmas. I know a lot of people probably got the new Ambernic RG35XX, the new one with the Wi-Fi and everything, the updated version. So
I got a better place for them to go. Come to our Discord and do it there. It's better.
No, that's even better.
Twitter sucks, eh?
We have a whole channel. A sub-channel under Play Retro that is just for the Ambernic stuff because we had so many people pick them up. Mm-hmm.
And I say that knowing that there are people watching us on Twitter right now. Hello. Hi. You're welcome here. I'm just saying. But Twitter ain't what it used to be.
Did you see my basic V2 yesterday?
No.
Jab at Twitter?
No. What did you do? I missed it. Tell me more.
I'll just show you. So I was just posting on X or whatever you call that stupid place. And
Twitter until the end times. I'm never calling it X. So stupid.
Travis, Travis TV. So TV, Travis, TV's Travis was out and about, ran across a TRS-80 and a Commodore VIC-20. VIC-20 was the first system I ever had. And so he called me up and said, hey, you want this thing? And I was like, hey, heck yeah, I do. And so he said that should be here tomorrow. But that instantly got me my mouth watering. For some basic programming. So here we go. Got this. I'm going to post this on the Discord.
Okay. All right.
Where are you at?
I'm watching for it. I'm looking. I'm waiting.
But I posted this on Twitter, and oh my gosh, so many people came back with their first experiences with BASIC on different look at this. Systems.
Here we go. Oh, look at you.
And
that's cool.
Yeah, ran a little peek and poke. No, I'm just kidding.
Dude, I used to know BASIC. I used to be good.
Yeah, I used to do it. Me too, man. I went through so much BASIC, man. I used to love type-in games. I would love to do an episode of type-in games. I just don't know if we could pick some that are so hot. Like Super Star Trek, that might be the one. A lot of people typed that one in.
Yeah. Yeah, that's cool.
And it was a good one.
I made a whole adventure game when I was a kid.
Yeah,
and it kind of worked. It was a sci-fi thing, and it was a kind of Zorkish thing where you're like, you're at a space station. Will you talk to the guy who sells guns, or will you do the other thing? And so it's a lot of and or if stuff. And then I had a star field for when I would warp to another system.
Yes.
Program that myself. Actually, I copied that out of a book.
Yeah, those data files where you creating sprites automatically, or what's the word I'm looking for?
You had to train. I mean, you had
generative.
You had to write it though. Like you had to.
Yeah.
You know, you couldn't just copy and paste this shit. You had to look at the book and go, all right, go to line 21, then do this. Go to burp, burp. I used to love that stuff, man.
Yeah. And I didn't realize how many people loved it. When I posted that little jab, no one calls it Twitter, 10 print. No one calls it Twitter. Go to 10, run. And I started getting a lot of people response back from people who were like, oh, man, I used to love programming in BASIC. And this was my system. And they had sent me pictures and sharing. And I was like, man, I didn't know so many of you nerds were out there, but way more.
Kind of makes me want to go mess around in BASIC, you know?
Yeah.
It's I don't know what I would make, but.
Now, I personally, since I grew up on Commodore, the VICE emulator is great. It does VIC-20, Commodore 64, the 128, and allows you to emulate 1541 floppy drives and get the cassette tapes and everything. It allows you to, it's got tools that allows you to write in Notepad, and then you can convert that into some other files, and then you can dump that back into as a BASIC program into the computer, load it up like it's on a floppy. It's way cool. It's a good way to waste the afternoon for us nerds.
Brandon Kay in the chat says, if your mom and dad never told you, Scott, I'm proud of you for your game.
Aww,
no, they did. Man. They thought it was awesome. And they said things like, parents only say this. No one but your parents say things like this. You should go work at Atari. I'm like, no,
you know,
that ain't happening.
I'm not sure how old your parents were. Yeah, I have a feeling that your parents were a little older than mine.
Well, my mom is 85 now, so when I was that young, she would have been, what, late 30s or mid 30s or something?
Yeah, so you had older parents. My mom had me, I think, when she was 16 or 17.
Damn.
So by the time I was doing stuff on the Commodore 64 or the VIC-20, you know, I was like 8. So she was, what, like the 20s, mid-20s?
Yeah.
Best. And
yeah.
So she didn't recognize any of that stuff. They would just do stuff like, what are you doing inside for so many hours? Go outside and enjoy the woods.
Wow.
It's like, I just want to stay inside.
Why were they Don Johnson in Django? Why were they his Django character?
That's the way they sound like to me.
Without the racism, of course. Without the abject racism and all.
She wasn't wrong because we had Fallout levels of cows, two-headed cows out in our pasture area. So I mean, she wasn't wrong.
No.
But then again, programming.
Moms are often right.
But I do.
Turns out.
Yeah.
They're more right than we give them credit for at the time. all right. Well, that's all well and good. It is time, folks, for us to dive in directly into today's topic, which is, like we said, the Fallouts. Here we go.
Shall we play a game?
We will indeed. And we're going to start with Fallout from 1997, the year my daughter in the other side of the room over here was born. Think of that.
Fruit of my loin.
The fruit of my loin. Both loins. let's play a little audio to kick us off here for our talk about Fallout 1. Here you go.
War. War never changes. The Romans waged war to gather slaves and wealth. Spain built an empire from its lust for gold and territory. Hitler shaped a battered Germany into an economic superpower.
It goes on like that. Now, as you may recognize...
Hey, who's that talking, Scott?
Ron... I can't think of his last name all of a sudden. What's wrong with me?
Ron Perlman. And this is before he was Hellboy. We probably best know him from something like, I don't know, like Beauty and the Beast or something.
This would have been in the 90s. Beauty and the Beast would have been his big claim to fame. I guess later Alien 4, but that was like 98 or 9.
You might have known him, but yeah, by then you're probably right.
That may have been 04. I can't remember when that movie came out, but he was still mostly from that show, the Beauty and the Beast show.
Yeah,
Ron Perlman. Thankfully, I love this about him. Did this for 2. Did this for Tactics. Did this for 3. Did this for 4. And did it for Fallout 76, I believe, a little bit.
Can you? I can't even think of a time when I mean, that's just like every time he shows up at the top of the thing to do the intro movie, because I don't always watch the intro movies to games, but I always stay for the whole thing when I'm watching the Fallout intro movies.
No, it's so good. And the part I didn't play, we'd get dinged for because now it's considered copyrighted again, or you know.
Oh, is a kiss to Metal Trayvon.
And they play all this like old 30s freaking, you know, music. All the games did this. I don't even remember if, I can't remember if Vegas had his voice or not. It may not have. That's still my favorite.
Vegas
Fallout.
I loved Vegas, but I can't remember a lot about Vegas now after playing 1 and 2 in Tactics. I'm like, did I even play Fallout? Oh my God. I'm so lost.
I played 3 a lot. I played a ton of 4 and I played a bunch of Vegas, or I played Vegas twice through. The 1 and 2 and Tactics, I was super into, but only in fits and bursts because those games really required a lot of your attention. And we're hard as nails. And so we're going to talk a little bit about that factor. But first, I want to play this.
Ah, you're here. Good. We've got a problem. A big one. The controller chip for our water purification system has given up the ghost. Can't make another one. And the process is too complicated for a workaround system. Simply put, we're running out of drinking water.
Now, I want to give this game some credit for having some 97 balls.
Yes.
And having really good voice acting at a time where video game voice acting was toilet level garbage for the most part.
It is what makes this game hold up. I mean, there's a lot of things that make this game hold up, but that the voice work, we've done covered plenty of 90s games and you've heard them. You've heard them right here on this show.
Oh, yeah.
And man, this is some next level stuff here. Interplay really took it to the next level. But I also think Interplay at this time, near the end of their life, by the way, we're looking at doing a movie studio. This is where a lot of these people were, all these gaming companies were fooling with the idea of, are we about to cross over into full motion video and studios and everything else?
Yep.
And, it's part of what probably brought Interplay down. But yeah, they wanted some real voice actors, and boy, did they do it.
They did a great job. And you got to remember, this is right around the same time, I think just 6 months prior, you got Resident Evil 1, which has some of the worst voice acting of all time.
Yeah.
I love it, but it's bad. Okay. There's a lot of that stuff. We talked about it with House of the Dead 1 and 2. When we talked about light gun games, that's some of the worst stuff. This is that era. Like, I'm not just saying Japanese games had terrible VO, maybe more than most, but all games had kind of bad VO. It wasn't a thing we did
yet. Oh, they
got
some real bad VO, man. Get something for your VO, buddy.
Yeah.
Take a bath.
So this thing comes along and just says, hey, what if we cared about that? As I can say for myself, I loved that about the game. I loved that it immersed me more because I felt like these were real people with real problems. And, you know, it would set the tone for what Fallout would be even when Bethesda got a hold of it. And that tone never left. It's always been that tone. And it was locked in day one. And I love that about this game. It's very consistent.
How much of the lore right from the beginning was laid out that I did not think? Now, I started with Fallout 3.
Yeah.
That was where I really started. I had played Fallout 1 and 2 briefly because my friends who loved a lot of RPG stuff, and I've talked about this before, I wasn't really big into RPGs at this time. And so they would say, here you go. Just take this, load it up. You'll love it. And I play it for a couple minutes ago. This is just dumb. I mean, it's hard. This is how I want to go do some action stuff. Mm-hmm. Don't get in no hurry. Yeah. Like if you're used to playing stuff like, you know, Quake 2, you know, and running around and shooting stuff. And then somebody hands you a Fallout disc and you're like, this is a very different pace, you know. Top down, kind of isometric. It's not really isometric because it uses a hex grid and it's like a 60-40. Anyway, it's basically top down and there's a lot of clicking. Oh my God, the clicking.
So much clicking. Yeah, you think
so
Diablo.
Much clicking.
You think Diablo had a lot of clicking that same year? No, year before 96 was Diablo. But you thought that had clicking. Guess what? Lots of clicking
there.
But you know what else you had in this game?
There's even modes of clicking. You have to cycle through modes of clicking. It really threw me off when I started playing this week.
You know what else you had in this game that was unusual?
What's that?
It had an interactive text system when you talk to an NPC or a character or whatever. Yes. And instead of just choosing dialogue responses like you would expect from most games of this ilk, you would type in queries and say,
you could, yeah.
She'd say, or, you know, I was just looking at the video of it, but the lady would say something like, yeah, or whatever, we're here and it's horrible. And then you'd say, well, there's a little prompt says, what do you want to ask her about? And you'd say, well, I want to find out more about this guy named Seth. So you type in the word Seth. You don't choose it. You type it. And then you hit enter. And now she talks all about Seth. Not fully VO'd in these cases because they, you know, whatever. There, that was a lot of overhead back then if you did voices for everything. This, you know, that Baldur's Gate 3 level voice RPGs was not a thing yet. But yeah, it was.
You could tell what parts were important because you would get the voiceover stuff, and then you would get, because one section I went to and I met a character and it was all VO and yeah. It was almost no discussion at all about anything important to the story. I was like, okay, but later on, this is definitely going to be a character I'm going to have to be interacting with because they would not went through all the work of doing that otherwise.
Yeah, exactly. So I don't know. I just appreciate it for those weird details. And like you, I was quaking it up around this time. That's what I was into.
Right.
I was playing a lot of Quake. I was playing Doom. I was playing other shooters, mostly twitchy games. And right. Along comes some of this stuff. And a lot of it, I just, like the original XCOM, I just kind of blew off. It's like, eh, it's not really my jam.
Yeah.
Turns out now, as an adult, I love me turn-based everything. I love it. I'm a huge fan.
As an adult, I'm the same way because I was technically
adult. Let's see what I'd have been, 20, 25, 26, whatever right. I was.
Technically an adult, but I still had a lot of kid in me. And I'm with you. And so I didn't have time for no Steve Jackson's bastard child from GURPS to special system. I didn't understand. Do you know what special stands for?
Special in this game it's an acronym for, hold on.
Right. You got it. Come on.
I should know this. It is in all the games. And yes. I just played some 76 the other day. I should remember. And I don't.
When you're setting up your characters, you got to, you know.
Strength, intelligence, all it's all that. It's all your stats, right?
Yeah, there you go. It's all your stats. It's strength. So it's the special system because they were going to use GURPS, but Steve Jackson saw what they had in the opening scene of people getting blown away. He's like, and so they went and they tweaked it a little bit. And so you get strength, perception, endurance, charisma, intelligence.
Yep.
Anus. No.
See, you need to see there.
What's the, did I miss the C? Charisma. I said charisma.
Oh, you said charisma.
Charisma, intelligence, agility, and L. What's L stand for?
Laughter, long shakes, lousy TV reception. I don't know.
It's that final roll of the dice. It is luck.
Luck. Oh, yeah. Duh. Luck.
Luck.
Yeah, luck is your chances of getting better loot and that stuff.
But you can roll a character. Or you can choose from three pre-rolled characters when you first started playing Fallout. First couple of times I played, I just picked, you know, the strongest guy. I'm like, who's the strongest guy? And I'm like, I picked that guy. But you can roll that.
Is he the big wide load face guy? The kind of a big old.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Right. Yeah. He's the tank. I'm like, okay, well, if I'm going in here and make some stupid decisions, I need a big dumb oaf.
Yeah.
And that's what I did. Done. Yeah. And, of course, later on, if you want to get towards the end game stuff is always a lot better when you got somebody's a little balanced and maybe doesn't necessarily depend entirely upon, melee strength. You know, they're good with like other things. You have to pick your three skills that you're good at. I always end up seeming to kind of go with lock picking, melee weapons and some small weapons. That's always right.
That was true in the original in the subsequent games as well. I always go high lock picking because I just hate it when I can't open.
Oh, I hate when I can't unlock a door. That is like way up on my list.
Yeah. Like of all my RPG pet peeves, it's when I can't open a thing that is openable, but I can't. Forget it. I'm out.
I'm such a doubt in Thomas too, because every time I'm like, I take a couple of points away from luck. I'm like, that's bullshit. Ain't nothing happening there.
Yeah.
I'm not believing that.
Yeah. No, it's the thing about, I like the purity of the first game the most. It's really serious about its story and it's very clear what you're meaning to do. It's difficult.
You're stumbling out of Vault 13. The water purifier is trashed.
Yeah.
And you got to get to Vault 15, across the wasteland. So you can, there's rumors that there's one there.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Yeah. They don't really know. Like, I feel like I haven't asked Hugh Howie this and we are acquaintances, so I probably could ask him this, but the author of the Silo series and the subsequent television show, I swear to you that I think his core ideas from all of that were inspired by Fallout, the original Fallout game. Yeah. I could be wrong, and I've never asked him. He's like our age, roughly. He probably played it. I should ask him that.
I think Fallout really showed that you could do this out of the fantasy and space kind of stuff. It's like we had some games that were kind of already doing some of these things, but creating a world like Fallout, that was unique still, even to this day, except for, you know, a few things that kind of followed up with it, like BioShock and those kind of things. It still feels like a very unique genre. It's like I kind of want to go over there. It's like almost like an out of time alternate reality. That's basically what's going on in Fallout, because apparently, if I understand what's going on in Fallout, somewhere after World War II, like during the 50s, this alternate split off reality never got transistors. For whatever reason, we stuck with vacuum tubes instead of transistors, so we couldn't make things smaller.
Right.
But I couldn't tell, because one of the very first things that pops up on Fallout 1 is some video and is selling a car.
Right.
And some of the features are no computer. And, you know, it's like, was there a rebellion? I haven't finished going through the Fallout lore, but I'm kind of interested on stuff before, like that, where the Divergent happens.
They advertise the car for, it's $199.99 or whatever.
Right. Right.
And they say on there, the first not completely 100% not a fully analog automobile.
Yes.
And it does seem like they're really pushing for that. So yeah, you're probably right. I mean, the world is, it is this idea that the 50s came and we started getting into robotics and artificial intelligences and, you know, dirigibles and all this kind of stuff before the bombs in our little alternate history, but we got pretty advanced before we got to Silicon, and then that all went to hell. So now everything is just based on, like you said, tubes. And stuff, which is such a fun aesthetic to play around in.
It is so beautiful. It's good to look at too, because whenever you're communicating, if you look at your Pip-Boy, I haven't even talked about the Pip-Boy and all that stuff. A lot of you people are Fallout fans.
They know.
Yes.
Yeah, they know.
They had the Pip-Boy in the first one. It was, you know, it was different, but it was still, it's there. And all the visual aesthetics are, you know, like tubes and old school, you know, looking pre-transistor stuff.
Yeah. And your Fallout suit you start with before you start acquiring armor and stuff.
Yeah.
It's the same one from the new game. Like the new games, as much as people are like, oh, I like the old ones, they were more consistent. But I actually say they're up in the night. I think that they have been incredibly faithful to what that game is, while advancing the game into a modern era where people are more accepting of, I guess, not easier systems, but systems that make more sense for the modern day. And, you know, quality of life things and stuff like that. That's all good. You want this. Yeah. Man,
you want this.
I like retro, but I also like new. And Fallout is great in both retro and new. It's great on both sides.
Yeah.
Big fan.
One thing's annoying me, though, you're showing something on screen. You've been playing footage from Fallout 1, and it's fine if this is who you are. There are a lot of widescreen hacks and stuff now. Whoever's playing it, that game footage, just let it stretch. No.
Yeah, it's all
4x3, that baby.
Yeah.
I gotta have it in 4x3. I can't stretch it. I can't make my
I don't want to stretch it.
I look short and squat.
I don't mind. There are mods, like the good old games version, you can mod to be true 4K widescreen, you know, without stretching.
It's a good version right now too. You can get the classic 1, 2 and tactics, I think, for like $4 or something on good old games, or Steam for like $7 or something. And they got all the hacks and stuff on them. It's fine.
I was so excited for Tactics. We'll talk about that game, but
I never played Tactics. You might be surprised or not surprised how I felt about that.
Oh, well, then we'll find out shortly when we get to it. Real quick, before we jump to Fallout 2, are you excited about the currently in production and airing next year series, the Fallout series?
I went back before we recorded the tonight, and I rewatched the teaser from earlier this month. And yes, after playing Fallout 1 and 2 this past week, and then revisiting the teaser, I am actually pretty excited.
I am too.
That coming. That's what, in April, I believe?
April of this year, I believe. Or,
yeah, 2024.
2024.
Yeah.
So sooner than you think. It, to me, looks like it's shaping up. Hard to say. Everyone's a little too clean in that teaser. But it's that's the, also, the, you know, they're not showing the nitty gritty of the world yet, necessarily.
And that's what I'm actually kind of curious about that. When I was playing this, I kept trying to figure out, and we're about to start talking about Fallout 2. Fallout 1, you start, everything's in the vault, you get a little pre-show about what's going to happen, but you're leaving from the vault and you're almost instantly in the wasteland. But you feel like you got a foothold in something safe, right? That there is a civilization right behind you that you've got to save.
And you can go back to it and gear up and rest up. Yeah, like that kind of stuff. Whereas in Fallout 2 and really all the rest of the Fallouts, you're out of there, man.
Yeah, you're a vault boy. I am very much a vault boy.
Yeah, because you have a home. There's a whole generation, like they say in the intro with Ron Perlman, there's an entire generation that were born and grew up in the vault before this water problem.
Yeah.
And they don't know anything else. So you take everybody out of there, taking them out of your element. You're leaving home for a horrible place. It's really nice to be able to know that place is still there. Whereas the subsequent games, it's all gone to shit. You can't get any of that.
Yeah. Business. But by the time we get in Fallout 2, which is 80 years after the opening of Vault 13, so we can go recover that stuff. The water filter. It starts off, it's like you're more like a villager. It seemed more like something like Mad Max kind of stuff. And I was like, I was curious if Scott felt more at home as a vault boy or more of a rough and tumble kind of guy out in the wasteland.
The latter. I'd prefer the feeling of that desolation and having to explore it and find your way and survive in it. So that's a little bit more my jam. Having the safety of home is fine. But in my fiction, like in my real life, yes, please, can I go back to the fall to the shelter? in my fiction life, I want to go out there in the weeds and really get lost, you know?
Yeah, even in my fiction life, I only get so far away from the vault where I'm like, I got to head back. These people need me.
I guess it depends on what fiction you're consuming, but
yeah, I got to get back and fix some shit. Because that's kind of like what I imagine. I'm like, I'd probably be, if even in my fictional idea, I'm a fixer. And I'm like, okay, I got to get back to the vault because people are dependent on me. And I got to make sure that everything, all the systems are operating nominally.
Yeah.
So that we can, you know, we'll all live.
Because you're a fixer. That's what you do.
That's what I am. And even in my fiction, I still see myself. So Fallout 1 to me, having that safety net felt really good. Mm. And then when I stepped into Fallout 2, I was like, oh, shit, no.
Let's step in there. Here's some audio.
War. War never changes. The end of the world occurred pretty much as we had predicted. Too many humans, not enough space or resources to go around. The details are trivial and pointless. The reasons, as always, purely human ones.
Yeah, because we're effed and we do dumb stuff.
Yeah.
Here's this lady. I love this lady here. Check her out.
This will be your quest if you prove yourself worthy. For that proof, you must first journey to the Temple of Trials. If you survive, come back to me. We will talk more. Our life is in your hands, chosen one. Prove yourself. Find the Geck. Be our salvation.
See, again, top-notch voice acting, man.
Top, even though she's a little over the top, it sets the mood and it's really good.
Yeah,
I really appreciated that.
Completely fits in my mind.
And this time you're the chosen one. The first one, you're just a vault dweller. No matter how you build or spec your character, the story assumes that you're still, you know, that's your role in the world of Fallout.
Right. And let's explain for those not initiated what the GECK is. The GECK is another acronym, GECK, which stands for Garden of Eden Creation Kit.
Yeah.
And that's the way to save this village as the chosen one is to go find this supposed kit, which may or may not be complete myth in the story. You don't know.
Right.
But that's your goal, and bring it back and, you know, revitalize everything, which is kind of the idea. It is a bigger world, I can tell you that.
Oh, so much bigger.
Yeah, two's a monster. Two is basically like, hey, we were very successful. Let's do another one and blow it out. Let's go nuts.
Let's spend all the money, Black Isle. Let's spend it all.
Yeah. And Black Isle was a subsidiary of Interplay, but they got front seat credit on this.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is not true of the first game. I don't know if they had anything. Well, I don't know. Did they buy them? I didn't look into that whole who got Black Isle and why.
While Fallout 2 was going on, they were getting near the end here for Interplay. And, you know, they were restructuring things. Yep. And
like they do.
I think that was just another little shuffle. And it's like, wait, we've got to shuffle this around here, put this tax here, put, you know, do that. But it could be more than that, but that's the way it felt.
Yeah. Black Isle Studios is a game developer. All of you know, you may not know why you know them, but you do. If you didn't know them from this game, you'd know them from Planescape Torment, one of the greatest RPGs ever made.
Yes.
We will have to cover that game at some point.
To. It's going
to
happen.
Yeah, we have to. They also did Icewind Dale and worked on the Baldur's Gate 2 and just 2, I think.
Yeah, these are all great games, and we can't do them next week because I need a break from Fallout.
they really got their stuff, got their chicken in a ring.
Where you go with that analogy, but I like it.
I feel like mostly it's Planescape and this. These are your two big kickoffs for them. They technically built Fallout, but it was a lot more of a group effort. You got a lot more credit to the creator of the series. His name was something Fargo.
Brian Fargo, I think, was head of Interplay. He's the one who came up with the name Fallout. He's not necessarily the big developer, but he was definitely, he's the big visionary.
Yeah. He was your dude.
They
also did Baldur's Gate Dark Alliance 2, which was amazing.
Yes.
Did we
talk about that one?
I don't know if we have. My original experience with that was a PS2 title, and I freaking loved that game. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Oh my god.
It was so good.
Right now, at this point in the time of Fallout, you're only on PC, Windows installs for both of them. I think Fallout 1 was DOS, but also had the Windows version, and then Fallout 2 is Windows only. And then I don't think it was until Fallout Tactics was the next release when we started seeing console versions of this.
Correct.
Which is weird because there's a lot of keyboard stuff, even like rotating your character around. I don't know if it even affects the gameplay or anything.
I don't know.
But you can rotate your character around so that it's facing the enemy, I guess, for peace of mind. I don't know.
That was my only problem with Planescape is you couldn't. Everybody was facing the wrong damn direction in that game all the time.
Yeah, and since it's isometric, or it's not really isometric. There's a word for it, but it's basically that isometric view. You couldn't rotate the camera around or anything, so your characters are constantly behind stuff, but then you have this pass-through thing where you can kind of see through the wall, but it gets kind of annoying, especially on this one, because you're starting out in a freaking temple run.
Yep.
Ah!
Yep, temple run, baby. Just like the old phone game, Temple Run. Get in there and get all the coins. Not really. But yeah, you're kind of thrust immediately into a dungeon, essentially.
Yeah, time for a tutorial and a little bit of XP gaining before you even start the game. As a matter of fact, it's almost pretty easy to level up just in the Temple Run.
Yeah.
If you tackle everything, which doesn't really give you much other than some healing blinding power. Powder. Yeah, you can take this healing powder and it lowers your perception. So I don't know what you blow it in your eyes or something. It's like a little bag of dust or something. I guess it's supposed to jack you up.
Yeah. Yeah, because it's powder. Powder does that. Jacks you up.
Powder jacks you up.
Yeah.
Let's go.
We know what's up with powder in the modern era. Just for a little background, for those who are not aware, Black Isle Studios closed. And when they did, a bunch of its members went and founded Obsidian Entertainment, and Obsidian are the same folks that did Fallout 4.
Yes.
Or excuse me, they sorry, Fallout New Vegas is what I meant to say. And they're now owned by Microsoft. They were part of an acquisition, and they make all kinds of amazing games now. I love Outer Worlds. It's a very, very cool Fallout-like game. And little stuff like South Park Stick of Truth, Neverwinter Nights was theirs, or Neverwinter Nights 2, I guess. Obsidian is one of my favorite devs ever. I am so glad they didn't go away. I'm so glad.
Yeah.
They're great. And one of my favorite founder names. So they got Chris Avellone, Chris Parker, Darren Monahan, and Chris Jones. and never forget Fergus Urquhart. Because they originally Finnish, I think, is right. Where they all were based. And now
he's in the credits because I love the opening credits of the Fallout games because they're so cinematic. And yep. It's always like this fade in text of Fallout and, you know, it disappears. And then, you know, and they're presented by and
it's great.
Lead this person and lead that person. And it's just very cinematic. Gets you right in the mood. You got some dissonant type of music like you'd mentioned earlier where it's, you know, it's got like some, you know, 40s and 50s type old music mixed in with this future retro vibe. It's always really good.
Yeah, exactly.
Except for the two-headed cows. Screw those guys.
Oh. Oh, yeah. Are they? I never saw one in any of the fiddling I did this week. Were they in the old games?
Yeah. Okay. Oh, yeah. And two, yeah. The, what were the
whatever they are.
Yeah, they're like Brahm cattle, but they're all mutants, which most stuff in the Fallout world is. You do have to protect, if you choose, because none of this stuff is linear yet, you can choose these little side quests of protecting the Brahmide for a particular a village, and that'll gain you some karma and some goodness through that village. So all that stuff, we haven't even talked about that. That's very much a part of this RPG Fallout world, even in 1 and 2, where your actions have consequences. You have karma points, and it actually can affect how certain things play out. Like in Fallout 2, there's a section where you talk to a character named Joe, and if you have completed everything to success by that point in time and done it in such a way that your karma points are up to like almost 400, you can talk to Joe and convince him to chop his finger off and saute it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, all right.
Yeah.
So why not? Yeah. Who needs dog meat? The dog
the when kind you of can karma do that. You need.
Yeah. Why not? Yeah. Fallout 2, hell of a thing. Now, along comes Tactics. 2001, all right?
Right.
And this is a weird one. It is, the games were always turn-based, right? But this game really leaned into the technical turn-based aspect of the combat.
Real time, you know, you're shooting, they're shooting.
Mm-hmm.
Rootin' tootin'.
Yeah, rootin' tootin'. It is a cool game. My memory of it is real saucy, though. I don't have... I don't have a lot of clear memories of how things went for me in Tactics, except that I just remember being very excited about it. I remember looting a lot of things, like tons of loot.
This is where we go from being kind of being rewarded for playing good to being Micro Forte. Steps in, Interplay is near the end of life here. And this is much more action oriented, has more like an XCOM feel to it where you know you're commanding a squad. Story's kind of there, but it's kind of secondary to just getting in and fighting. You always have plenty of, you know, weapons, unlike 1 and 2, where you're always struggling to gain a little. You start with a good bit and you're kind of just, you know, terrorizing. You are the Brotherhood. You're just kind of terrorizing everything, even though in a good way. You're supposed to be good, but can you be good?
Can you?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either. I did love that it was a big graphical upgrade, and I remember upgrading RAM to play this, I think.
Yes. This was a lot smoother looking. We went through some iterations. We were already, you know, well into good 3D and first person stuff. And so, this kind of stuff was easy.
Yeah.
It was still that isometric kind of view. But yeah, I didn't care for this as much as the first two. Cause like I said, even though it sounds contradictory, I didn't like, now that I'm older, I don't care for how fast this jumps in. I actually appreciate the slowness of the RPG.
Well, did you ever play the Commando games, which we will cover one day?
Yes,
this is closer to that than which that's more real time than this, but it's a lot closer to that.
Right.
And if you like that sort of thing, well, this is probably going to be your jam.
It's tactics. It has a focus on tactics and less about story.
Yeah.
Right.
And I think that that's where I have changed, because back then I was way more into that idea than all the story and all the slowness. Mm-hmm. Now I'd prefer kind of to flip the other way. Funny enough. Although I love modern XCOM and hated all the old XCOM, and the modern XCOM is a lot more exciting for sure.
Yeah. I didn't like having to constantly, choose them. Am I prone? Am I crouched down? Am I standing up? And I can never quite figure out, because, it's not real time. So you can't like reloading stuff and just like constantly shooting. You still have like a few seconds where it's like, what's my guy even doing right now? Why is he not shooting? Why is he not doing anything?
It reminds me a little of the Final Fantasy. What is their system called? Where it's turn based, but there's like a ticking cooldown.
Yeah, yeah.
All the time. What's that called? It's got a name. It reminds me of that a little bit. Yeah,
yeah.
A little bit. But it looks cool. That's my favorite thing about it, is the look of it is way more my aesthetic than the prior two games.
This feels more like a Mad Max game to me.
Yeah.
Because it really does. It feels uber violent. There's violent things that happen in Fallout 1 and 2, but they seem to happen independently of what you're doing. It's kind of like, oh no, look at that terrible thing that's happening over there. I hope I don't get involved, or if I do, I'll handle it. Whereas this feels like you're part of the bad thing happening.
You're part of the problem, really.
Right.
Here's a familiar thing.
We have declared war on
you. But we don't plan to surrender either.
We are going
massive
to win.
Proportions and would lead to World War II.
Allied air forces began an attack on military targets.
Decide that in the 21st century, that America,
March 5th, 2052, the United States has officially closed.
The United States will go ahead with a national quarantine.
So I'm a sucker for movies that do this. In fact, Fury Road did a little montage at the beginning with a bunch of voices where they're always like, here's some history, here's some fake history. I love that kind of stuff. And that's how this game starts. It's very cool.
Yeah. And this ended up being a lot of what happens here in Fallout Tactics kind of gets thrown away is not being canon.
Story-wise, for sure.
Yeah, but they keep some stuff too. Like right now you're looking at like one of those downed balloons, the hot air balloons. So once again, we're looking at, that retro future.
Yeah, analog world we split off from our own or whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know why there's a dog barking.
So is that meat or is that actually in? Oh, that was in real life. Oh, I thought that was in the game.
That's my daughter's idiot dog.
Come on, idiot dog, come on.
She thinks if a door opens, that means trouble.
Well, if you offer them some rad scorpions meat.
I mean, we did name her Ripley, which was named after Ellen Ripley. And so,
yeah. So if you do that, maybe it'll become your companion.
Because
we didn't talk about companions at all beforehand, but here you are all the way in Tactics doing some serious companion work.
Oh, all kinds of companions. Yeah. It's a lot more of a party in this game.
Yes, yeah, a party.
Hey, recognize this voice.
At ease, initiate. My name is General Barnacki. I will be giving you your orders before every mission. But before that, I'd like to personally welcome you aboard. Considering that the Brotherhood basic training attrition rate is 85%, you should be very proud of yourself. Now, on to business.
So they got Lee Ermey to do the damn
Lee Ermey.
The damn mission business, and I love that.
Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah. Yeah, because, Ron Perlman was more of a overworld seer, sees all. But then if you need somebody who's going to be military, it's a no-brainer, mm-hmm. especially during this time.
Yep.
2001, that is your man right there.
Yep, he's your guy. I forgot he died in 2018.
Yeah, I think at this point in time, we're more in the Midwest instead of the West Coast stuff, and we're more organized because the Brotherhood... I believe, because if you're not familiar with the Fallout storyline, all these vaults were, there's all these vaults across the country. Mm-hmm. And in addition to protecting some of the people and the populace, you were also, more nefariously, there was a lot of, scientists who were experimenting. It's like, hey, here's a good chance to experiment on people, whether they like it or not.
Mm.
And, the Brotherhood is more of a faction of they discovered that they were going to be experimented on. And so they kind of took control. So that's the reason why they have so much goodies so many goodies and they're a lot better off than those in the coming out vault dwellers popping out of vaults in the West Coast.
Yep, you are absolutely correct. But that's your look at all things Fallout 2D, everybody. We wouldn't get three for a while. It would take some time.
We can cover that here on Play Retro as well, because it's getting up on years as well.
Yeah.
Fallout Tactics is 23 years old.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's see. 3 came out 2008. I was right. So that's... What is that?
That's minus...
It's been a bit.
That's minus 23. So that would be 15 years, right?
Yeah.
16 years is coming up.
I think that's right. Right. By the way, that game is currently 75% off on Steam. If you've never played it, you should play 3. 3 is great. Let's see here. How much is it right now?
3s were a lot of people. We think of Fallout series always being a success, and it was. But Fallout 1 and Fallout 2, in relative terms to how games are sold today, it's pretty small.
It was pretty small. Yeah. Plus, it was focused on PC market, like all that kind of stuff contributes, because that wasn't a huge market then.
No.
But anyway, right now, $2.49 is all this cost. $2.49 on Steam. If you want the Game of the Year edition, which includes all the add-on DLC and all that stuff.
Might as well.
$6.59. Nothing.
What?
Nothing.
Nothing. Especially if you got a gift card for Christmas.
Yeah. I already own it, so I can't. But if you haven't played 3. 3 is great. 4 is also great. And I also, I think 76 has shaped up to be a rad game these days.
Yeah. 76, it ended up at a decent place.
Took them a minute. But they got 19 million players right now. It's crazy.
Yeah. Not bad.
Yeah.
Not bad.
I want to get me some Fallout going.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
All right. Well done. Now it's time to play a game of our own. It's called Guess My Game.
Destroy it.
We play some audio from an old game. We set each other up with a couple of details, and then the other person tries to get it. They have 3 questions during the round, and I'm going to start with my audio. Brian, we're looking at a game originally on the Dreamcast, although technically an arcade in Japan, but ended up on Dreamcast here in the States.
So it was a Naomi board, right?
Correct.
Okay.
The year was 97, 98, 97 in Japan, 98 here. So right in the same range of Fallout. Figured I'd stay in the neighborhood.
Fallout.
Yep.
Get it?
Genre, sports, and I would even add to that kind of action sports. And the publisher is Sega themselves. Okay. Let's see if you in the chat room can get this. Here's your audio.
Spain versus Belgium. Kickoff.
I'm assuming this is some feet ball, but not American feet ball.
Yeah. Feet, but international feet ball. Is that one of your questions or what do you want to?
I'm going to go with, is this some international feetball?
It is some international feetball.
All right, all right, 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 right. 97, was it the arcade? And you said in Japan?
Yep,
and
98 here on 98. Dreamcast. Yeah, and it was very well received in Japan. Sold not so well here, but that may have been a Dreamcast problem. I don't know.
Nah.
You know what? I may have the year wrong on when it came out on Dreamcast. Let me double check that. Let's see. That might be later. Because do we even have the Dreamcast in 98?
98? Yes.
That doesn't sound right.
Or is it, did it come out in 99? 98? 99?
All right, here it is. Okay, yeah, I was wrong. So the arcade, the original arcade game was 94. The game on Dreamcast was technically a sequel in Japan, but it was named the first one over here, if that helps. I don't know. That was 98. I know, can that be right? 98, starting from 98. Series updates are released, blah, blah, blah. Okay, North America 2000. So that makes more sense because that's the Dreamcast year, right? I think that's right. Because Dreamcast was like trying
You got to really thread the needle because Dreamcast was only around for a couple of years.
I know.
So, yeah.
I'm just trying to remember the day I took a whole day off of work just to play my Dreamcast. I'm just trying to remember when was. Because I love that. I love that box.
All right. Dude. So we've determined that it is. It's 2000 sports action.
Yeah.
Sega.
Yeah.
Hopefully you're plugging into your black Sega. It says sports on it.
Yeah.
I don't think they started licensing anything for FIFA yet, did they? So I wouldn't say it was FIFA. So it's probably going to be like World Soccer or something.
Definitely not FIFA because EA had that.
Right. You know. And EA and Dreamcast were kind of on the outs at this point in time.
Yep.
Yeah.
Crash in the chat is correct, by the way. September 9th, 99 was the release date of the Dreamcast. That is correct.
Okay. So is it like World? It's not. They didn't do the 2K stuff. So was it? Did you do the 2K stuff by then? I had NFL 2K.
Yeah, that was 99. Then. We had that then. Sure.
Okay. Yeah, that would have been 2K. I definitely had NFL 2K. I don't know if there was a soccer version of that, though. How about World Soccer for Dreamcast?
Let's find out if that is your correct answer. Is it World Soccer for Dreamcast? No, it is not. Mm. It is Virtua Strikers 2.
Wow, I had no clue.
I went with a
generic name because everything was named generically at this point, especially with sports stuff.
Yeah.
And that did not sound like, but I get you to say arcade though, didn't you?
Okay. Yeah, I did.
Fair enough.
Well, originally arcade, but the Virtua brand of Virtua Racing, Virtua Fighter, Virtua everything. I actually do.
I should have guessed Virtua. Of course, Virtua is Virtua Evi, everything.
They're into it, man. The AM2 team over at Sega, they were putting out this shit constantly.
I should have kept thinking.
Here's some video of it. I thought this game looked amazing. I never played it. But I remember at the store.
Looks good.
It does look good, right?
Like, how the hell is that thing cameras. Running so fast?
I mean, who knows? They probably emulate the hell out of it now and
beef
it up. But I don't know. The AM2 hardware is pretty good. You know?
Yeah.
You could do a lot. Anyway, that's my game. It is fun as hell.
That's my game.
Yeah. Play some soccer.
You don't like it?
Brian, let's do yours. Tell me your platform, your year, your genre, all that.
All right. So while I was guessing that, I was feverishly trying to remember what I did. And it's the PS1 from 1996, a few years prior when the Fallout 1 would have been around.
Yeah.
In the genre or genres is interactive movie video game published by ReadySoft.
All right. Interactive movie.
Interactive movie video game.
Interesting. Okay, here's your audio. What's going on? PS1.
This don't look very sharp. Oh. Well, right now, what'll it be? A shave or a facial?
A shave or a facial?
A shave. You know, I don't do many of these. I may be a bit rusty.
I don't know what this is. Okay.
I'll be right back. I only know what this is because I was doing some exploring.
You're exploring yourself.
I was doing some exploring. And then I was like, oh yeah, I do vaguely remember this game. But yeah.
Okay. Is it interactive movie? See, I'm just thinking of FMV stuff. Okay, yeah. Question number one. Is it an FMV video game where it's all video and I'm clicking around on video?
Yes, but it's animated FMV. Okay. So don't. It is definitely FMV, but it's not live action.
Is it based on a popular cartoon series, film, or something like that?
No.
Okay. Someone getting a haircut and having a bad time is what it sounds like. Okay. Third question. Who'd you say was the publisher? Ready Soft. Oh my gosh, this is so hard.
I went harder because we got more stuff.
I'm getting a Roger Rabbit vibe, but I don't remember there being such a thing. So I'll just say, is this a Roger Rabbit game?
That is a really good guess because it's kind of wacky like that, right?
Yeah.
But it is not. Is that the last one?
Yeah, so here's my final guess. This is really hard. I honestly don't know. Happy Goose Goes to Town. I have no idea.
Oh, Happy Goose Goes to Town. If you could give Scott one of those.
Yeah, I was afraid of that.
The answer is interactive movie video game Brain Dead 13. Was originally for MS-DOS, but ported to just about everything, including 3DO Interactive, Atari Jaguar, the CDI, the Macintosh, Windows, PlayStation, which is where I saw it at, and the Sega Saturn. Is very reminiscent of Dragon's Lair and other games such as that, where you have a bunch of QuickTime events, and it is horrible. People hated it, at least the critics did, and I can't wait to try to play it. Because
okay.
It's just, and just like Dragon's Lair, there's no on-screen, hey, guess what? You need to do this now. It's more of a, and look at that 90s-ass animation.
Oh, big time, dude. Yeah, this may as well be on Saturday morning. It's wedged between the real Ghostbusters and, I don't know, some other thing where in the commercial the guy goes, after these messages we'll be right back. I don't know. I've never heard of this. Completely new to me. I have no idea what this is. Never heard of it. So, yeah, you should play it just because I think you should suffer. You should play it.
Yeah, I've played it. I've watched videos on it before. And I did want to play it, but I think I saw it whenever I was playing Dragon's Lair last, and I was like, oh, I hated that game so much as far as the gameplay. I loved it so much being at the arcade, dropping my big money into it, but the gameplay in itself, so frustrating. Because there's no, you know, it's audio cues sometimes to let you know that you pulled off the move, but they're not always super prevalent. You know, it's like, oh, did I just pull it off? I think I did.
So it's not good at the very basic thing it's trying to do, is what you're saying. The one thing it needs to do is have good QuickTime events that give you good feedback on making good choices.
Right.
It's not good at that.
But good luck. Most days, try not to break the illusion that you're playing a cartoon, right?
Yeah.
That's the idea.
By the way, how do you feel about hidden object games? How do you feel about those?
If I am really bored, I will load one up on my phone. And then after a couple of days, I delete it.
Do you like when you were a kid and you go to the doctor or something, would you grab that Highlights magazine and find the hidden object?
Waldo's?
And, I don't know.
Yeah. Now. Oh, yeah. Like if there's like a moment where you don't want to be somewhere, you know, and you need to be focused on something else. Yeah, I like the challenge of a hidden objects game. That's a lot of fun.
Well, the reason I'm asking you all this is I'm making a hidden object game.
Oh, get out of here.
Yeah, with a programmer, like for real. Like we're going to put it on Steam and mobile. And I'm very excited about it.
Yes. Almost time for us to do a Where's Waldo then, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, well, ooh.
Or where in the world is Carmen Sandiego? Did she have some hidden object files in her house?
Did she? Was that her thing?
I can't remember.
I never, you know what? I'll admit it now. I never played one of those, not one.
I played them and I can't remember. I played them on a Macintosh and I cannot remember anything about it other than that red hat.
Yeah, she was into the red hat. wait, who taught typing? Oh, that's Mavis Beacon. That wasn't her.
Oh, it's Mavis Beacon. Yeah. Okay, yeah.
Do you think they hung out, though? Went to bars and stuff? Those two?
Of course.
Yeah.
Just feels That's right. my imagination.
It feels right.
What kind of objects are going to be hidden in your hidden object game, Scott?
I don't want to give it away.
Okay.
I will give it away to you.
You're hiding the object.
Well, I'll tell
that
you
is the game.
Yes.
Okay.
But I will tell you this off air. I just don't want to. I don't want to spoil it for.
Oh, okay.
Else.
Yeah, yeah. Because you don't want to buy. Yeah.
Yeah. But I'm very excited about it. I get to draw it all. I get the whole concept
now,
going.
See, that is cool.
Yeah. I'm super.
That's
stoked.
Always one of the things I loved about the hidden object games is all the great art.
Is the art? Yeah, the art's amazing.
Yeah.
And they're really popular on Steam right now. Like tons of them. Most of them have overwhelmingly positive reviews. Like it's a genre on the rise, which is crazy.
People love it.
Yeah. Lots of people cats, a lot of hidden cats, I've noticed. That's a popular thing. I can tell you not cats.
I am wasting that. There's a couple of things I don't, game styles that I don't understand. I don't understand the idle games, the idlers.
I kind of get those. There's a couple that I could recommend.
Right.
But yeah, for the most part, they like Cookie Clicker never worked for me. Not into it.
Yeah. I'm just now starting to play Monopoly Go because I've loaded it up a couple of times and went. So basically, I'm just hitting roll dice and just over and over again.
Yeah.
Is that what you're telling me?
Okay. I like a dice game, though. I'm a fan.
Yeah, I do, too. Yeah. And so, you know, now I get it and I've been having fun. Of course, everybody else has stopped playing by now. But
yeah, they're all done and moved on while you're still dinking
around.
Took
me too long to get into it.
Yeah, what the hell, man?
What is this clicking button? I'm clicking that.
We are now going to hear from the listeners.
Welcome to the Treasure Room.
We got a text from somebody that I would like to read.
We get
voicemails and texts from this number, 801-471-0462. We also get emails at playretroshow@gmail.com. This is a text that came to the number, and it says this: for Play Retro, longtime listener Larry, in need of some sort of retro game info. My Google foo is generally a higher level, so to not find any information on an Xbox 360 game kind of annoys me to the core. Back when the 360 was released, there was a MechWarrior type game. The game was roughly $50, but the controls were close to $300. I'm talking several sections of buttons, throttle, and yoke. For the sake of my sanity, what was this game? A buddy of mine in 2000 or so got it and moved across. That wouldn't have been right because that console didn't come out till 2005. So his timeline's wrong. But whatever.
Right.
Says, I got it and moved across the country the next day. Thank you in advance. Also, I hate Brian for his finds at the thrift store. Our area of New York, Vermont, and Massachusetts only has clothes. I have an answer for him.
Oh,
I think.
Yeah. Okay? That's true. That happens. Yes.
I think I have an answer. This is either one of the two. It's either Chrome Hounds. Or it's Armored Core 4. Both of those could use extended controls, but I think it's Chrome Hounds that had like the massive button set thing. I think. I could be wrong, but anyone out there want to chime in on this and tell me if I'm wrong?
That's really good. So not MechWarrior for sure, even though that was on the 360. I like using quotes, right?
Oh, did they have MechWarrior? I don't remember them
or something.
Well,
like
MechWarrior 5 came out in 2015, so it wouldn't have been that.
Right. Okay,
I don't think MechWarrior ever showed up on 360, to be honest.
It didn't ever show up.
I don't think so.
Was on the first one.
The first Xbox had a MechWarrior spinoff called, oh crap, what was that called? Warrior on Xbox Original. I had that game. This is the one you could use as a soft boot for other hacks and stuff.
Right.
What was that called? Mech Assault. That was in the universe.
Mech Assault.
Yeah, that's in the universe. That's OG Xbox. That's an amazing mech game. But that is not one of these. The 360 never got that game.
So not Techie Steel Battalion controller with game software? Not that?
Steel Battalion? Steel Battalion sounds familiar. Maybe that's it. Is it Steel Battalion? I can't remember. My memory was I could get it and have a simplified controller version of what I wanted to play. I do remember that.
It might be Steel Battalion because there's the Techie Steel Battalion controller and game software set. I'm just sent you a link in the Discord server.
Okay, please do. While you're doing that, I'm looking up Chrome Hounds because I swear this was it.
I just sent it to you.
Okay. Let's see. Where's the Xbox Live? Let's see. VLs can be found, including real world. Okay, six different mechs. Is this it? Plot. I don't care about plot. Reception. I cannot find anything about the controller. You might be right. That might be it.
Yeah.
That
looks pretty fancy. I like it. The one I sent you, with the Steel Battalion thing.
Let's take a look. You know what? I think you did. I think you found it.
Could be it.
I think that's it.
Help in the chat.
This is on eBay.
Tom knows.
Let's see how much they want for this. $489.90 is the current bid or best offer.
Yep.
Yeah, I think this is it. This is totally it. So this is Steel Battalion. That's the game.
That's pretty cool.
All right. Well, I knew it was one of the three.
Let us know if we're right.
Yeah. I hope you're right. Armored Core 4 was my favorite of the mech games of that era, but it was, I don't think it used all this shit. I think it was just a controller. Maybe it worked with it. I can't remember.
Yeah.
It's been a while, but thank you. And if anyone else has any thoughts on that, or you're a big mech fan, send it in. 801-471-0462.
Yeah.
Or play Retro Show at Gmail. Fans. I love me a mech game. Are you kidding, man? Any time of the day, put me in a mech. Mm-hmm. I'm ready. Right now, mech let's go. Up. There's a couple of new ones coming out soon that I've got my eye on. Excited about those. But that will do it for that. And I would love to hear from more of you. Please keep those emails and texts and voicemails coming. Our next discussion, the first of 2024. Well, not the first, like the date, but the first episode of the new year, which will be next Friday, is going to be Spy Hunter, arcade and beyond. Yes! We'll talk about the whole lineage, but that arcade game and that Peter Gunn theme and the whole beer, backing out of the thing. Oh, what a game. I loved it.
I got jazzed about it because about a month ago we talked about 3D Sen, which is a NES backwards, 3D NES backwards, and it's a project that has it 3Difies a bunch of NES games, and Spy Hunter was one that was in it, and you can use a pass through. And I was playing Spy Hunter in my living room.
Hell yeah,
and
you were.
So instead of top down, I threw it kind of like it almost like a almost at a pole position kind of level where it's almost like you're always looking over the hill.
Yeah.
And man,
yeah,
was that awesome. And it jacked me up. And I was like, I got to play some Spy Hunter.
Spy Hunter rules. I put a lot of quarters in Spy Hunter. Mm-hmm. Spy Hunter unfortunately came out just after my dad's arcade business crashed. And we didn't get a chance to own one, but I played that in the arcades as much as I could. So we'll talk about it. That'll be next week right here on Play Retro. In the meantime, I want to thank some brand new patrons who joined us this week. Brian, let's welcome the following over at patreon.com/playretro. Derek Van Dusen.
Ooh, Derek.
That might be Deucey.
I'm with either way.
If it is, we love that guy. I mean, I like him either way. Whoever you are, Derek, I think you're great. But I don't think Deucey's first name is Derek. Anyway, I could be wrong. Sean McLean, and of course Brant Paddock. Paddock.
Confirmed last week, Terry Dunaway, that is my dad. He did confirm. He said he listened to the episode and said, hey, good job. So just like earlier we were just talking about with our basic Commodore 64 typing in and stuff, my dad gave me my first Commodore 64, and he was always proud of me for my typing stuff. So
that's great. Look at that.
Yeah.
Dad supporting son. Nothing wrong with that.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, if you want to be a part of the larger Play Retro family, you can join today. Get no commercials, get pre-show content every week, monthly benefits that can be yours only if you join us at patreon.com/playretro. That includes, by the way, we retain the live video, which includes a bunch of pre-show and some stuff that never even gets recorded. That gets to you and no one else. Once the show's over, that goes hidden and it becomes yours. All right. So lots of benefits. Sign up today. Patreon.com/playretro today. What you got there? Ooh, look at this. You got your Ratchet and Clank art. What's this from?
Ratchet and Clank. My vinyl.
Oh, from what? The movie?
I forgot about that. Yeah, no. My vinyl from the music.
The game music?
Yeah.
Because they did do a movie and it was terrible. It was bad.
Yeah. Don't do that. But, yeah.
Piece of shit.
Yeah, look at that
thing. Oh, look at that, dude. Did you get that at the thing again?
That was for Christmas. That was for Christmas, yeah.
Wow. You are a nerd, and I love it.
It was a retro Christmas.
It truly was. Never forget. All right, that's going to do it for us. Thank you all for listening. Go play some Spy Hunter before we see you next, or anything retro, really. And we'll see you next week.
Get more at frogpants.com.
Do you know what to do about it, Grandpa?
Not yet, young man, but I will.
Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.